Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here. Really glad you're joining us today. And with me, Dr. Jill Hubbard. Hi, Jill.
Hey, Steve. How you guys doing?
And we're doing great. Becky Brown is here, and it's her birthday.
Yeah, it's my birthday.
Becky!
Happy birthday,
yay.
Becky.
How fun is it that I get to do this on my birthday?
I know, yeah, really. Well, and we get to be with you, sort of.
I love it.
And we're really glad you were born.
Here.
Well, thank you. I'm glad I was
born,
too.
Yeah, you've been a big help to all of us. And in honor of your birthday, they're opening up the movie.
Right. They are. Gosh, wow.
Just in celebration of my birth. No, really, you should go and see the movie tonight. It opens today in movie theaters everywhere. And take a friend. It really has a great message, but it's also fun and entertaining.
And we are partners with them, and we love partnering with good things out there in the world. We also, there's another thing we love, and I don't think it has anything to do with your birthday, Becky, but we love Focus on the Family, and Jim Daly and John Fuller are on there every day, as we are, but they have such an amazing program, and they offer so many wonderful things. I'm the guest today on Focus on the Family. I'm talking about midlife crisis. I've been through it three times, and, so I'm a professional at it. But if you go to the homepage of newlife.com and you click on the picture with me and Jim Daly and John Fuller, you can hear the program or you can listen to it there. But Focus on the Family, an amazing program. And Jim Daly is just one of those people in this world that I truly admire. You know,
you hear, talk about an overcomer.
He
His
is.
His story.
He is. And, you know, it's kind of trite when you hear, well, he's the real deal or something like that. But he's the real deal.
Yeah.
And maybe trite, but it's true. The reason things are trite is because when they're said so often and so true. But he is, and I really am grateful to be his friend. But Focus on the Family is all about midlife, and how do we not let that be a crisis? That's on Focus on the Family. Today, we're talking about you. We're taking your calls, and I'm going to go right to a caller, Kate from Washington, D.C. She listens on the great station WAVA. Kate, how you doing?
I'm okay. How are you?
Great. Just speak right up there and tell us how we could help you today.
All right. Well, basically, my question is, how in the world can God and myself save my marriage of 36 years?
Okay. Married 36 years. What's happening? What's going on?
Well, there's alcohol, there's cannabis, there's pornography. You name it. I think we have it.
For both of you, Kate, you're both dealing with all those things.
Well, we're still together, so I guess yes, both of us are still dealing with all those things.
Well, what I mean is, is he drinking and using marijuana, or
are you both?
Are both of you?
Yes, he's right now he's not drinking, but that's been going on for a year almost, and which is great. But he keeps threatening that he's going to go back to it. He says he's not threatening, but his ways are not that subtle, you know.
So that's it's a miserable way to live, isn't it?
And then. Yeah, it's pretty crazy. I'm walking on eggshells trying to breathe in between, you know. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Okay. Well, you know, there are a lot of people. Everything looks great on Facebook. and at church, but they're going through the same thing. We're going to give you some hope right after this, because it doesn't have to be this way. And I'm really glad that you called. So hold on. We'll take a break and we'll come back and talk with you. You're listening to New Life Live, and if you need some help, it's 1-800-NEW-LIFE, and we would love to help you.
God pulled me out of the gutter of my life that I was living in.
I have done a lot of work over the last 40 years. This is the first time I've ever felt love.
I've had such a wonderful weekend here, and for the first time in a long time, I've felt at home.
And the Lord has set me free from my mother's story about me not being good enough.
The New Life Finding Freedom Workshop is coming to Dallas, Texas, September 20th to the 22nd.
We're going
to
talk about forgiveness and codependency. We're going to understand that family of origin, the unhealthy reactions to it. We're going to talk about the cycle of shame and surrender and developing the plan that moves us forward. There'll be 8 teaching sessions and 6 small group sessions.
To register or to learn more about the Finding Freedom Workshop, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or online at newlife.com.
I am living a new life, and I believe that I have the resources and tools to continue that.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Some advice. All right. We're back. Steve Arterburn here. Dr. Jill Hubbard, Becky Brown, and we love getting to do this and talk with you. And right now we've started off, and these are tough situations after years and years of marriage. We're talking with Kate from D.C. and 36 years of marriage. And
so the thing that I was thinking about, Kate, is I know that there's multiple things going on. And sometimes when there's multiple things going on, we are overwhelmed and we can't take one step forward. So I don't know what you have done. And without going into all of those kind of details, what I want to encourage you to do is I heard it in your last comment about how he said he's not drinking and you're feeling like you're walking on eggshells and then trying to breathe in between. If you aren't already going to Al-Anon, that will be your first step, that you will go to a meeting tonight and that you'll begin that process of recovery, because even though he may be the one using, it's affecting you, and the marriage isn't going to be, as you know, all put together when he gets it all figured out. It's going to be both of you guys working together, especially after 36 years.
Yeah.
Jill, well, that would for her? That would give you a break to breathe, and I think the other people there would really help you. You said that he hasn't been drinking for a year, but the fact that you're still walking on eggshells, I'm wondering what he's been doing in that year to keep himself from drinking or to work on himself. Because just white-knuckling it, he's looking for any excuse, it sounds like, to go back. And then in that year, I'm wondering, has he continued with the cannabis and the porn? Because in that way, then, okay, so just stopping the drinking isn't... Yes?
I'm sorry.
It's okay.
But I currently convinced me to join him in the cannabis because I have, you know, I had some mental issues. I've been diagnosed with PTSD.
Okay.
And
are we talking CBD oil or are we talking THC?
THC.
Okay, so pot. Okay. Okay, so he's convinced you to join in, right?
And which is more... Yes. Yeah, but that's the reason why, Kate, when you're in a place like this, he wants you to be part of his illness.
Right.
And and it sounds like you've been worn down, and so you need support. You can't do this by yourself.
Right. I currently see a therapist.
Good.
I've been to different psychiatrists and different marriage counseling and what have you. I only went to the 8th grade in Catholic school, and so I'm not a very good reader. I'm not, you know, I have my
That's
own.
Okay.
but here's the thing.
Help the situation.
Okay. But Kate, When we have a problem, when we get into the problem, sucked into it. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter how we got into it. It doesn't matter how our marriage started when it's fallen apart. None of that matters. Here's what matters. What can I do today?
Right.
Okay. So I know you could go to a meeting. If you have a dependency on a chemical, go to some kind of recovery meeting for a chemical. And go to a codependency or an Al-Anon meeting. Go to those meetings. Now, you don't have to be a reader to go
no.
to a meeting.
Right.
Here's the other thing. If there is any way that you can let us find a counselor for you, then go to that counselor and get that help. Or, if not, get involved in a church.
One.
Okay. But get involved in a church that understands this and join a women's Bible study, start going to church, get into the Word so you've got that truth thing. The point is, you can't sit back, look at how bad things are, how they started, obsess over that, versus do what you can do today.
Well,
that's the thing. Get involved in the answer versus looking at the cause of the problem.
Well, and Kate, for someone who's an addict like your husband, he will do anything to keep you from messing with his drug of choice,
there
whether it's pornography
yeah.
or pot or alcohol. So he will try to make things seem like your fault. And just like what you just told us, I only went to school to the eighth grade. You know, if he can keep you feeling bad about yourself and beaten down, then he doesn't have to really look at himself. But, you know, in a marriage of 36 years, pornography is unacceptable, right? That gets in the
totally.
Way of your intimacy and your closeness and his ability to be honest. So there's a lot of things that need addressing here in terms of help for him, too.
And you know what we do? When we don't have our act together, then we allow some things in the other person because they're going to say, well, look at you.
Right.
And so really, it all starts with us and just getting done what we know that we can do. Now, I'm going to send you this book, Understanding and Loving a Person with a Chemical Addiction Problem. I think that's going to help you. And I'm going to send you a Life Recovery Bible, 3 million of those out there, and I think it's going to help.
I just, as I listen to Kate's call, I know that there's so many listeners that are in very similar situations where they feel overwhelmed by the circumstance. It's almost like they're frozen. And it's hard to take that first step, but you can't change anything without doing something.
Mm-hmm.
And just thinking that the other person's going to figure it out, that's not the action step that you need to take.
Yep.
So
that's right. All right. Glad you called. Get those materials to you. Let's talk with Linda. Frisco, Texas. KWRD is the station. Hi there. Linda, are you there? In Frisco, Texas.
I'm sorry, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
How can we help you today?
Can you hear me? Oh.
Yes.
I'm sorry. Well, thank you so much for taking my call. I just heard your previous call a couple of times ago, and it got me to thinking. I'm about to get married in December, and he has adult children, and I have a 19 and 16-year-old, and it got me to thinking that how I need to approach, I mean, they each know that we're engaged. I mean, not engaged, but that we're dating. But how do we keep from hurt feelings, you know, letting them know we're getting married and how to work? It's just kind of hard because his daughter lives out of state and his son travels for his job, so we don't see them a lot. And my kids, their dad is going to be very angry when he finds out that I'm getting remarried, and so it's mm-hmm. going to be kind of hard on them. And and even when I started dating a while back, I talked to my son. I said, you know, eventually I'm going to get married again, and I understand if you can't come to my wedding, if your dad makes it hard for you. Like I said, I'm just wondering what I can do to help, you know, ease the into this with adult children. Or older children.
Okay. So here's a question. How long have you dated the guy that you're going to marry?
Well, we've only dated a few months, but because
how many
of your
months
show,
is a few? How many months is a few?
3 months.
Okay. Dated 3 months.
I got your book, Is He the Right One? And Before I Say I Do. And so we're a little further along in our relationship than we normally would be because I've asked him all those questions that you put in your book. You know, I've asked him, you know, his morals, his values, his porn history, his everything you could possibly think of. I have asked him. And so we're a little further along in our relationship than, you know, I think most couples would be. Because
now, when are you planning on...
My time. Yeah,
when are you
his,
planning on getting married? When
December.
Are you,
when's the,
December. In December. December. Okay.
In December.
So, that would mean you'd be married about, what, 6 months after you met?
Seven
or so?
Or so,
okay.
Yeah.
Because there's also a thing in the book you referred to, and it talks about different dates to have in every one of the holidays. And the message is you need to know somebody for a year before you marry them. Now, you're saying you don't want to waste time, but let's just say your husband had remarried. He was happy. If you do, the children all know this guy, love him, I would be saying to you, you still need to wait a year. There's a reason that you wait a year. And when you wait that year, you don't ever have to look back
right. And
use this as an excuse for a future problem. Well, we just moved too soon. No matter what you do to talk yourself into the fact that you can do this more quickly than others, it becomes an excuse. So the first thing I'm going to say to you is I cannot ask you enough for try to beg you to not do it, especially given this other circumstance. The second thing is, you need to have a conversation and then another conversation and probably another one with your ex-husband. And the first conversation is, I'm dating a person. It looks like we will get married. And this is always a tough situation on everyone. And I'd like for you and I to work out our issues about that so that our kids don't have to get caught in the middle. Because the best thing for them is to have a positive, powerful relationship with him versus them feeling weird or strange because maybe they like him or respect him. And so that's not going to happen in one conversation over the phone. It's going to take two or three, and that's going to take time. And then the third thing is this guy needs to know what his role is going to be with your kids. Benevolent uncle, grandfather, Santa Claus. These are the kind of words that come to my mind, not disciplinarian, worthy of instant respect, total control of the family. And he needs to have some help in adjusting his expectations. These are older kids, they're mature kids, and he needs to come in, earn their respect. And it's tricky. And it takes, I think, sessions with you and him and a counselor, and then the two kids are brought in, and then everybody ends up at a place. Maybe they don't, everybody doesn't end the sessions singing Feelings, holding hands, but we understand each other. We accept this is reality, and we're going to make the best of what we have before us. That's the goal.
And you know what I'm thinking though too, uh-huh, is the fact that you called Linda in response to another,
yes,
person who's further down having these big issues. Don't ignore that alarm that's going off. Pay attention to it, because it will, exactly what Steve just said, it will become the excuse for all the problems that inevitably come with marriage, whether it's first or second marriage.
So I know I'm saying a lot of things, but I just am really hoping that you could accept the fact that usually, and people hate this, some people do, usually putting families together is a bad idea. Why do I say that? Because so many disasters come from it, because it's done too quickly or it's done with the wrong kinds of expectations. This isn't something you want to spring on these kids and have them work it out with their father. You want to be the one that knows they're going to be okay in the presence of their dad, telling a story of how your new husband did a nice thing for them, and it doesn't trigger him into a horrible story about this new day.
So, you know, I'm thinking, Linda, you said that he answered all the questions right.
Yeah.
Good for him. But let's talk to him in 6 months.
Well,
let's
not
talk to
all him in a year. Right, but he answered it.
Yeah,
yeah.
But you hear the Jill. I was just going to say,
Linda, does it feel like we're raining on your parade?
Yeah, bet it does.
Yeah. Actually, I mean, I understand where you're coming from, especially with my ex. But my ex has borderline Asperger's, and he has no discernment. So, I try to have our pastor talk to him all the time, just to do normal things. So, I'm just trying to prepare my kids because
take your time. Take your time, Linda.
He just doesn't.
Right. Well, take your time.
Okay.
Time, truth, grace, great combination. Henry and John have talked about those for years, and the tough one is usually time.
Delayed gratification.
And I know when God moves in my life, it's really, really slow. And everything I rush is really, really problematic. I hope something we said here is helpful. We'll be back after this.
I came into this thinking that my husband was the cause of many of our issues.
The New Life Intimacy and Marriage Workshop is coming to Columbus, Ohio, October 25th to the 27th.
But after learning about our attachment styles, I understood how our past hurts were playing into our present problems.
Join Steve Arterburn.
It's been a dream of mine for a long time to help people to grow more intimately together, and we believe that everybody has room to grow in the intimacy level of their life.
And Mylan and Kay Yurkovich.
We help couples understand how their attachment style is sabotaging their current relationship, and then we teach them how to create comfort in a relationship.
To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or go to newlife.com.
Here at this workshop, we had our first ever conversation without yelling, blaming, and accusing.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Last year, after every man's battle, I was so moved by the transformation that I saw, not only in myself, but in the guys in our small group and the other people that were there and the stories that I heard, that I decided to go ahead and join Club New Life as a contributor to that.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
You guys are doing God's work here. You're restoring marriages. You're giving people hope. It's just been such a blessing to me, and I just wanted to encourage you all. When you see something good that God's doing, just jump on that and help support that.
Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433.
Give your support to them if you can, and just help them do what God's doing here in the world.
Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today. We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. We really do believe in marriage. We believe in restoration. We believe in healing. And we believe that one mistake, it doesn't cause you to have to be punished the rest of your life or suffer and all that. But any time that we've made a bad choice and the marriage hasn't gone forward, it doesn't work out, we got to be extra triple dog careful the next time, and especially when we've got kids involved. It's always our caution. I will send her Healing is a Choice. It is the book, 10 choices that Misty and I picked out. The main choices after you go through a divorce, what could be the most healing thing that you could possibly do here? I'll send that to her. All right, let's go to Stacy, Anchorage, Alaska. That's where she's calling from. Listens on Sirius XM, channel 131, 10 a.m. Pacific time. Hi there. Hi, Stacy.
Hi, Steve and everybody.
So hi, Stacy.
Hi. So my concern, my question, of course, it begs an answer from many remarried families, especially as it relates to adultery. So this is my first marriage. My husband, he has been married before. And so I know that passage in Matthew. I don't have the exact reference. But I'm sure you know which mm-hmm. one I'm referring to when it,
right.
it states that other than the fact, you know, other than adultery, if you put your spouse away, then you're, you know, committing, you're living in adultery. So we are currently in a conflict. And so this has got me, it's thought-provoking. Now I'm thinking, am I even in good standing? Am I, you know, I'm repenting for my sins, I'm a follower of Jesus, am I currently in adultery? Because
Stacey?
You know, my husband, he did mention that there was adultery.
Stacey?
In his previous marriage.
Okay. Yeah.
Stacey? Stacey?
Yes.
Are you saying that you guys are having a conflict, and in that conflict, you have started to ask, well, should we have even gotten married to begin with? Is that what I'm hearing or not?
Yes, because he's not healed. It doesn't seem like he's healed. You know, we were just talking about mm-hmm. this in a previous call, and okay. all of the things that come up.
Right.
Yeah. All right, so here's the question. When you say there was adultery, you're saying that was he involved or was his ex-wife involved in adultery?
From what I know, they both were. They both were. And he said that it was, and they would be rectified, or so they uh-huh. walked okay. away.
But it's not something that you spent a lot of time delving into.
Yeah, prior to marrying.
Exactly.
Okay.
Didn't have any, I wasn't a believer. I didn't have.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So here's what I want to caution you with. Having a conflict and then flipping over to, well, maybe we should have never gotten married in the first place. Not the time to do that. And I'm going to say this, and some would disagree. If you're married to him now, the way that you, and let's say that you didn't have grounds, or he didn't have grounds for divorce, and he didn't have a clear slate to remarry because it didn't meet certain criteria that Jesus laid out. Well, you're married now, and so here's how you not live in adultery. You sit down with him and you get the full picture. And you find out, okay, he was the adulterer. He didn't really have grounds to marry again. And you didn't check that out. You weren't fully aware. You weren't a believer, whatever. Now, you ask him with you together to go before the Lord and forgive you. And the Lord will forgive you. And mm-hmm. rather than create another divorce, you make this marriage work. And you don't make it work by questioning whether or not you should have been married. There are others who question whether or not they should be married based on all sorts of circumstances. Well, you know, it was during the war, they might say, or whatever. No. So this is your husband. Now you go be married to him. But why don't we literally wipe the slate clean here and confess and repent, and let's move forward together, and let's both humbly seek a solution to this problem, not looking at history, not looking at the future, but looking at today. Jill, your thoughts.
Well, and I'm wondering, Stacey, was your husband a believer before you guys married?
No, and I didn't. Now he's a churchgoer, and he thinks he's saved.
Okay. Well, the fact that neither of you were believers prior to this marriage. You know, we hold non-believers to a different standard than we hold yep. believers. And now, like, I'm glad you're at least asking the questions, because right. now that you are a believer, it's like you're saying, oh, I recognize something, and I want to be right with the Lord. So I think right. everything Steve said was right on, but you are, just know that you are responding now that you are in Christ and exploring and asking the questions, and that's a good thing. But it is time to move on and work on this marriage now.
All right.
Okay.
It,
and I know that this
help, it would really move along well, but he doesn't have a lot of willingness. He hasn't healed from his prior marriage.
Yeah.
Right. Which often people jump into the next marriage before they really do the work. So it's time for him to do the work.
We'll be back.
For most of my life, I've been dealing with an opiate addiction.
Why is opioid addiction quickly becoming one of our nation's biggest killers? Maybe it's because it isn't only those who are addicted who are in denial.
We did what I see so many parents do, is it can't be an addiction. There's something medically wrong.
It's impossible to solve a problem when you don't know what you're up against, and families will try to find any explanation except the one that will put them on the right path.
Alcoholism and drug addiction is a family disease. It doesn't affect just the individual.
If someone you love is abusing painkillers, know what you're up against. It's time to admit it's addiction and seek treatment. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We have Christ-centered partner treatment centers around the country. Call 1-800-639-5433 or visit us online at newlife.com.
We just made a decision. We will do whatever it takes.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn, and for 30 years, New Life has been the most trusted name in Christian counseling.
I'm an addict, and I'm trying to get God in my life again. You seem to be able to get to the crux of a problem quickly.
Our Christ-centered treatment programs can help you break free to embrace all that God has for you and your family.
I just want to thank you guys for bringing me to a relationship with Jesus.
There really is help for marital problems, depression, addictions, panic attacks, and feelings of hopelessness.
I came back with so many tools to help me prepare myself to fight this struggle and this battle that I have every day.
You can start living again today, living the life God intended for you. Help is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
They did care, and they did follow up very lovingly, and it made all the difference in my life.
Call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Someone who cares is waiting at the other end of the phone. God can open the door to a better tomorrow right now. Just call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. 1-800-639-5433.
Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Rebecca, I'm going to send her 7-minute marriage solution. There are 7 things in here that you should do if you're married, 7 things you should not do if you're married, and 7 minutes a day that could change everything. Hope that'll be a blessing to her. Anybody else, we have that here at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. All you have to do is just call us. Really hope that we can help you there. We have some wonderful things coming up. And right now, I mean, the big one is Every Man's Battle. It's the thing that changes so many men and their marriage. But, you know, the other thing for this couple, we've got in October, we've got our marriage intensive, which if they would come, it could change everything.
Right?
It's just amazing.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it would be a great thing for them.
Yeah. And the last one we did, so many problems. We've never seen so many problems.
Oh, my gosh.
And yet so many miraculous stories of a turnaround. So I would hope that she would think about that. Yeah.
Well, can I just add one more thing to them? I think for Stacy, when she said her husband isn't willing, I think she needs to maybe consider how she is approaching him. And she says she thinks he hasn't healed from the previous relationship. Sometimes a new spouse needs to give permission to their husband to do that work, to do that healing. Because it's really common for men especially to not start to grieve until about 5 years into a new marriage.
Well, isn't that the truth?
And because men tend to marry more quickly, just
and then
statistically.
As we said, yeah, and as we said at the break, you know, if you got married a year too soon, then be prepared to have 2 years of patience before you see the progress in the person that would have benefited from taking more time to heal. And you can't just blame it on the other person. Well, he married me too soon after, you know, both of you decided to get married together. Let's go back to the phones. And remember, 1-800-NEW-LIFE, if you need some help, we would sure love to help you. But let's go to, how about we talk with Christine from Woodbridge, New Jersey. Christine, how are you?
Hi, I'm good. Thank you for taking my call.
Certainly.
I was
I was wondering, I have a question on how to handle, actually how to help and handle a situation that we're having, my husband and I are having with our adult son who's 18 and just recently graduated, and how we can help him to launch into adulthood. He's very angry and very resistant toward my husband and I.
What is the source of that? Do you know?
I think it's he has a lot of hurt and pain from his biological father not being there. I actually called the show about 18 years ago when I was going through a situation with his father, and I took your guys' advice. And I left him, well, you didn't tell me to leave him, but I made the decision to leave him from different sources of counsel. And I got remarried, and my husband now has been in the picture for about 10 years. And my son was 8 at the time. So, and he's a very loving man. He's been a great, great father to him. But, yeah, we've had the situation for a while with my son.
What does that mean?
Probably
what does... Christine, what does that mean when you say we've had the situation for a while? And I also am kind of curious about when you say that he's angry, what does your son, how does your son describe that?
Well, we've had the situation for a while with him, like behavioral problems with him for a while, probably since about maybe the past 5 or 6 years.
Well, hold on. What are the behavioral problems? Because,
right.
You know, sometimes people say behavior problems and they're talking about a heroin addict. Well, so what is it?
No, not that I know of any. I don't know of any drugs or anything, but he lives in our home and he pushes the boundaries and the rules in our home. And right now there's a failure to launch and he doesn't want to go to school. He comes and goes as he pleases. He ignores us. He won't have dinner with us, like from anything from the smallest request.
So he's like a boarder in your home. He acts like a boarder.
Yeah, exactly.
But probably doesn't pay rent.
Okay, so real quickly, what is the plan? What is the plan?
Mm-hmm.
He's just going to do that for 50 years, or what's he say is his plan?
Well, we've had several family meetings about it, and we've had spoke with him, and he blames us, and he says that we're too strict with our rules, and that we're trying to control him. And
okay, so what is his plan? If you took away every restriction, what would his plan be?
He doesn't have a plan.
Right.
He's not pursuing anything.
So he keeps
really
focusing on what you're doing. Right, or not doing, instead of looking at what he wants. Right? So he's still acting like an adolescent, right? And doing the blaming and the resistance, instead of being the adult that he wants to be treated like. Right?
That's exactly it.
One of the challenges, Christine, is if he doesn't have a plan, you guys need to have a plan. Like, mm-hmm. You know, he doesn't necessarily have to go to college. Not everybody's ready at that point, but everybody has a job. Everybody has responsibilities. And I know I've heard John Townsend say this so many times where he says, okay, your job is to get dressed every day to go look for a job until you have a job. Like, there's got to be a plan in motion, and then you give him a certain amount of time, and you don't do this in a conflictual manner.
No.
This isn't about you want to launch him strong. You want to give him, you know, a good send-off, if that's possible. I understand that there's been anger that's been going on, and there's lots of reasons that can be perpetual, but I want to encourage you guys to have and you may have to have another person present just to say, okay, you know, you say that we're too controlling. We want to give you freedom. And if you're going to stay here with us, this is how this is going to work. And we want you to do well. And I don't know, maybe Christine, that you guys have already done that. But when you tangle with an adolescent, and I know he may be 18, but it sounds like he's stuck at about 13. What do you always say, Steve? You dance with the gorilla until the gorilla says you're done dancing?
Is right. That- well, you're not done until the gorilla is done. But you, this is one gorilla that you need to help him be done with. And it, mm-hmm. and it's going to take a little bit of persistence here. And so it would be something like this. We need to talk this evening about 8 o'clock tonight would be great. He says, no, I'm with friends and all of that. And then you say, okay, then tomorrow night at 8, we'll talk. Okay, so that's your being, you know, flexible. The next night at 8, you say to him, we've been thinking and talking about all the things that you've said, the anger that you've expressed, and we know this has really been tough for you. But we also know now that you're 18, you're going to have a plan. And we want to help you have that plan. Because if that plan helps you become independent, you don't have to spend time near the people that you're angry at. And we don't have to worry what will ever become of you, because maybe you would be like other people that get really angry and stay angry. You just stay stuck. So we want to help you develop a plan. Well, how's that going to happen? I don't think we're able to solve this together, you know, work it out, because there's so much anger and stuff between us. We'd like to suggest, here's a counselor, we're going to pay for it, and that you go see this guy, you guys work out a plan together. He says, I don't want to do that, I don't want any part of it. Then say, okay, well, here's the deal. We're going to give you 30 days to develop a plan, to do it the way you think you ought to do it, and submit it to us. If we can accept that plan, great. If not, you're going to have to find some other place to live and another way for this thing to play out. But right now, what we think is good, take this offer to go meet with this counselor and have somebody other than us help you develop the plan. By the way, we're always here to help you develop the plan. We're just assuming that wouldn't be too smart at this particular time. What do you think about that?
We have done. We have asked him to sit with our counselor, and he said he's not going to counseling. He does work. I guess I'm having trouble now because, like, it's affecting me mm-hmm. With him. Just, you know, like, I don't know if it's like I'm getting triggered from the behaviors that he's displaying. It reminds me of the patterns are the same of his dad that, sure. you know, I was in right. a well, relationship with.
If he has a job and he's making money, then it might require him to move somewhere where he's got three other roommates for the expenses to be low enough for him to be independent. But you're going to have to move him toward independence, especially if he's not in a trade school or in some kind of vocational program or getting some kind of degree expansion. We'll be back after this.
She said, we need to talk. She's asked me for the first time if I would consider myself a sex addict. You know, I thought it was just about admitting the things that I had done wrong. I never had a clue that it was about redeeming our story. You know, I thought it was just about coming clean on what I had done. I had no idea how to help her with her pain. She was a mess, I was a mess, and we got divorced. Going to EMB, surrounding myself with these other men, they accepted me for who I was and what I had done, but they challenged me to step up and do better. You know, they'll be around other men who are not just pointing the finger, but willing to get in and wade through it with them, you know, get in the trenches. They'll get hope from this workshop. Take my sweet wife and my story. We were divorced, remarried, and on our way to what I think will be the sweetest years of our lives. You know, it's no longer simply about surviving. For the first time ever, you know, we're thriving, we're enjoying where we're at.
Hey, listen, if you're struggling, we want to see you at the workshop. Give us a call, 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn, and for 30 years, New Life has been the most trusted name in Christian counseling.
Your ministry has saved my life.
If you struggle with emotional hurt, family or marriage problems, the pit of depression, or the pain of addictions, we can help.
I'm down 100 pounds now from what I was.
You guys are awesome. You're a blessing to America.
Our treatment programs provide clinically appropriate solutions from licensed professionals.
all in a biblical framework.
I have had problems with alcohol. I think God has ordained this place to be His.
You don't have to be a prisoner of your pain. Help is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
She tells me that I'm a new man and I feel like a new man.
It worked for me and it can work for them too.
This time it is different.
If you're ready to take the first step toward genuine spiritual and emotional healing, please call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. God can open the door to a better tomorrow right now. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. A couple of great points at the break here. Jill and Becky were making. Jill, let's start with you, and then Becky, make your point.
So, Christine, real quick, has he had contact with his biological dad through the years?
He just recently.
Just
not no.
No. Okay. So, from the time you left, he didn't. He was not in relationship with him, but recently is. Okay. So
no, he just.
Okay. Okay.
He
well,
just,
go ahead.
He just came in contact with him recently, but they're not like in a relationship, I don't think.
Okay. Okay. So there's a lot of unknowns there for him. I'm wondering if your son is aware of how you get triggered and that the fears that you have. Not to put that on him, but sometimes to create some dialogue so that you can say that sometimes that you realize you react and you can own your part. I loved what Steve was saying to you, Christine, and I think that you and your husband should take some time to put down in writing what would be a plan that you would want. Like, let's say if all went well, like over 6 months of launching him, but the plan to give him the freedom that he is seeking and what is acceptable, you know, from your side of things and not acceptable. And that's something that can be a start of a negotiation. And it also shows that you're really serious. This just isn't another conversation where we go round and round and react to each other and it gets nowhere.
Becky, your thought there?
Yeah, so I'm going to go from another angle, and that is I wonder how much you guys have experienced compassion towards him. It's got to be hard to be an 18-year-old, kind of stuck in anger, not mm-hmm. feeling very productive. His other friends are going off to college and doing these big things. And I'm not saying you have sympathy and keep him stuck in that place, but sometimes it helps to get out of the reactive cycle to just observe from an objective viewpoint. If you knew your son from, like if he was at the workplace and he came in as an 18-year-old working, you know, what would his story be? And I think the reason why that helps is because right now you both are reacting to each other. It's like a statically electrical charge. Like he comes in the house and he triggers you, you trigger him, and it's just a hot mess. And so I want to encourage you to begin to slow down that conversation. I think Take Your Life Back would be a great resource for you to learn the difference between reacting and responding.
Yep.
And I just think it's a difficult thing, but I think you guys can do it.
It is true. A couple of things. I hope and pray that people that listen to the program, you see that we all have this incredible ability to kind of mess things up. Nobody
yep.
is better at it than, well, some are better than others.
Yeah.
And so what do we do? Do we live in guilt and shame because it's not working out? Do we, like Becky's saying, you know, this poor kid feels so judged and feels inferior, so do we shame them? No. You know, here's what I think we need to do. Well, we need to figure out what is the most loving, even though difficult, answer in all these situations. Sometimes I need to get help. Sometimes I need to demand that somebody else mm-hmm. get help, or I need to send them off to get help. Sometimes I need to draw closer to someone. Some other times I need to establish some space between me. The point is, if we're truly living in the love that God has for us, we are going to love other people. And that love must be patient. if we're truly understanding God's love for us and His grace, we don't give up, we don't lose faith, we endure, and we look for the hope in all of this. Mm-hmm. Now, there is nothing that I've found that helps more than when we can say to whoever's having a difficulty, like this boy, you humble down, you go to this kid, and you say, I've messed up. I don't know how you're feeling. I know you're angry at me, but I've really messed up. Because human beings mess up. And now I want to work with you to try to make the best out of things you've done, things I've done, your father's done, stepfather. Let's try to come out of this with something good rather mm-hmm. than everybody's just upset with right. everybody. That's not going to get us anywhere. So you need to come to that reboot place. And usually it starts with somebody saying, I'm sorry, or I messed up, or I haven't handled this the way I could. It never is, let's power down. And let's force this thing into some kind of solution.
It's why we talk about recovery all the time. Because yeah. even though there's not an addiction that we're talking about here,
right.
these are the principles of recovery. And to humble down and to make amends and to move forward so that we can be reasonably happy in this life.
Yeah. Well, the 10th
step. Well, and it's that soft answer, too, that turns away yeah. wrath.
That's right.
10th step says that I'm always going to be taking an inventory.
Yep.
So I'm reflecting on what I've done and reflecting on the impact of my behavior on others. And whenever I'm wrong, I'm going to promptly admit that. That's staying current in all of our relationships there.
Right.
Now, we've got some counselors around this country. They could be that third party that could help you.
Mm-hmm.
Some charge different things. You can work that out with them. But you really ought to let us try to connect you with somebody who can powerfully intervene in whatever mess you're having to deal with. That's one thing you could do. We've got workshops coming up. Every Man's Battle. We've got this Finding Freedom workshop that really does change so much for everybody. If you're in Southern California, or you could fly in, you could come to our Finding or our 12 Steps to Happier conference, which is a recovery conference.
Yeah, it's a one-day event where you're going to hear from a lot of different people talking about just different aspects of recovery. And many people get confused thinking that recovery is just for addiction.
True.
We are all in need of recovery because, right. you know, we struggle. That's what it's mm-hmm. all about. Come and be with us that day.
Mm-hmm. Intimacy and Marriage is October 25th. And, of course, we've seen over half the people that show up want to get a divorce before they come.
Mm-hmm.
95% don't. After it's over. So that's pretty exciting for us.
And they have better marriages mm-hmm. after they leave.
Well, exactly. So the point is, please, please get the help that you need. Don't stay stuck. Find the hope and find somehow, some way, how you can love other people even when it seems almost impossible mm-hmm. to love. Mm-hmm. You can do it if you've got people around you and your motive is loving God in the way God has loved you. We'll help you do that. If you can't do it, if you feel stuck, it's just all confusing, you call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-NEWLIFE, and let us help you. That's what we're here for. You know, 31 years ago, we got started at New Life. And in that process, we've never veered from what we believe is really important. It's the truth. The truth you find in Scripture, the way it's meant to be taught, it's redemptive relationship, and it's transformation. And you know, if you keep feeling bad about things and feeling worse about things, that doesn't help anything. But what does help is when you finally humble down, as my wife says, humble down, pick up the phone, get the help that you need. Then you've got hope. Every one of us on this program struggle.
Mm-hmm.
And we want you to have some of the victory we've experienced, and we're not perfect and we don't have it all figured out, but we're still getting the help that we need. We want things to be better for you, and we're doing the exact same things that we recommend that you do. You call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We can find a resource, a book, a counselor, something, one of our workshops that could change your life forever. My thanks to Dr. Jill Hubbard, Becky Brown, two very wise women that really help people transform their life.
Thanks.
See you next time. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again on Monday for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.